Welcome to Pause, Reflect, and Heal with Dr. Randy. I'm Dr. Randy Aronson, and I am so excited that you can join us today. This is going to be a very fun and exciting podcast. I'm with one of my favorite people in the entire world, Dr. Brian Caban. Dr. Brian and I have done a lot of things together over the years, and we're going to embark on educating and talking about integrative medicine in both humans and animals. If you go to the website, which is drrandypetvet.com, you'll see some of the other podcasts that have been done. This will be posted there also on YouTube and Spotify and all of the podcasting sites. But what's really fun about this is when the idea of me going out and doing some speaking on integrative medicine, one of the taglines that I had in my my seminars was pet wellness and longevity. I will help your pets live healthier, happier lives so you can too. And what became really evident, Brian, is that as I started looking into all of the holistic, I don't like alternative as much, but complementary therapies, it was obvious that so much of it was applicable for both your patients and my patients.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's such a crossover. So I'm going to ask Brian to introduce himself a little bit, just tell you a little bit about his training, and then we're going to get into the meat of the podcast. I want to remind you that you could always send questions to the Dr. Randy Pet Vet website. We're welcome to answer any. We'll come back and hopefully have Brian back again. And we're also looking to get out and do some touring and speaking. So it's kind of exciting launching here. So Brian, yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm Dr. Brian Caban, and I'm a medical doctor, and I'm also a doctor of homeopathy, board certified in homeopathy in Arizona. I started out in medical school. I come from a mainstream medical family and went through a conventional medical school. And after 4 years, went into internship and residency at I was at University of Illinois for medical school and undergraduate. Went to Baylor for my internship and residency. I started out in pediatrics, did internal medicine and in genetics, and then went out into private practice. And in private practice, it became very apparent that I really didn't have the knowledge to really get people well, and we're seeing high volumes of people, and just basically just writing prescriptions and treating symptoms. So I started studying some herbology. I'd been introduced to homeopathy from my best friend in medical school, who had done extensive research and study in homeopathy. That excited me, but I figured I was a researcher and an academician, and I knew what I needed to know. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. Those rude awakenings are always kind of fun.
Yeah, still learning, still growing. That's a fun thing about what we do, is you're always learning new things.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing the natural medicine since 1984.
Yeah.
I had the good fortune. After 2 years of private practice, I realized I need to go back and do more training. And there wasn't an integrative medicine fellowship at the time, but there was a preventive medicine at the University of Arizona, and I converted that into an integrative program. So the second year is all electives, and I was able to work with some of the greatest practitioners of the time. Andy Weil was at the University of Arizona at the time and still is. He introduced me to Dr. Robert Fulford, a very famous osteopath, who mentored me for about 3 years. I spent a lot of time with him. I learned mind-body medicine with Rose Tennant. I studied food allergy with Ted Randolph, the father of food allergy, and a whole number of other modalities, plus studying on my own. And when I came out, I opened a practice called Gentle Loving Medical Care, with a spiritual base, wanting to really make a difference in this world, help people, and you know, get people well and inspire people to wellness. And I've been doing that since 1986. And I keep learning and growing, It's just so much fun.
Yeah, and you know, what I want you all to hear is how Brian investigated his interests and went on to look at these things. The same thing that I've conveyed in an earlier podcast about my integrative path There were no courses available. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wanted to learn homeopathy, then you studied homeopathy. If you wanted to learn rehabilitation medicine, you did that. If you wanted to learn acupuncture, and I relayed how I thought that I was just going to add Chinese herbs into my practice, only realizing I had to learn Chinese medicine. Right. And it's a, as Brian said, and he's so right about this, it's a constant learning process. Mm-hmm. And the difference between people like Dr. Cabin and many of the other professionals out there is that he has the love for what he does. His interest is making his patients well. Mm-hmm. And whether it's spiritual healing or helping them with the things that we'll talk about, that's what he does. And it the same thing for me. And I think when that light bulb went off, realizing that I was just putting out fires and not making animals well, I realized I had to do more. And thank God that people like ourselves do that. Because, you know, in general, I mean, I often get the response from a lot of my clients, how come so-and-so doesn't do this? Or, you know, mm-hmm. and the answer is, it's not their interest, or right. maybe it's not something that they are in line with spiritually. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the calling is there, and it's so interesting that it's so great that people like yourself do what you do. Tell the listeners a little bit about what homeopathy is, because I think there's a lot of people who say, you practice homeopathy, and I explain to them that I don't, because I don't know how to repertoireize and do the things that are important. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what homeopathy is and how you use it.
Sure. I mean, there's different types of homeopathy. Constitutional homeopathy with repertorization is one form of doing it. Then there's clinical homeopathy. And basically, it's based on the science of like treats like. So what causes symptoms, if you give it in much diluted amounts, can actually treat and enhance the healing process within the body. So instead of trying to pharmaceutically to manipulate the body, you're working with the body healing itself with the knowledge that the body wants to heal. Given the right circumstances, which include, you know, diet and right thinking and proper exercise. So an example of not true homeopathy, but an kind of quasi-homeopathy we call isopathy, would be allergy therapy. Mm-hmm. So if you're allergic to ragweed, you give a markedly diluted amount of ragweed, and the body's defense mechanisms learn that ragweed's not really an enemy, and it stops reacting to it. Well, homeopathy has a repertoire of tens of thousands of remedies, including combination remedies, and integrated as part of a program. When you have a lot of experience, you learn where it's applicable and where to use. And I use them both orally and topically, and also in injections when we do prolotherapy.
Sure.
Prolozone therapy.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yeah,
That's another great, interesting area that we both work with. So, yeah. So when was there a time for you that when you first started realizing that these things were available to you and you did the studying? And I mean, you mentioned some people that were at the pinnacle of their fields. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, my thought's always been, you want to learn from the person who mm-hmm. really is doing exactly what needs to be done mm-hmm. to help the body heal. Was there a time for you when you like just kind of got it? Like it seemed like it was all fitting into place. And I mean, did that take a while, or was that kind of like, you know, after you started doing what you were doing, you just started seeing results and feeling happy about the things that you were doing?
I was blessed to see results initially. And from the get-go, people are very grateful to have natural therapies, to have alternatives. A lot of people prefer not to use pharmaceuticals or surgery when it's not necessary. So the people are so grateful. When I had my practice initially at the Tucson Clinic, basically I was practicing pediatrics, and I had a practice full of people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who were coming to see me because of what I was doing.
Because they're all pediatric, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we're all young at heart.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's telepathy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went back into training and, you know, did family medicine and then the preventive medicine to be able to take care of that population. But basically, you see results pretty quickly, and that, you know, the way the world works is then you're going to get stopping blocks, and you realize you don't have answers to everything.
Right.
And you've had some initial successes, so it gives you some impetus to go ahead and continue learning and growing. And it's still the case. And medicine is very challenging, and the circumstances in the world are different. Our immune systems have been, you know, altered by a variety of factors, including environmental factors, and so medicine is kind of a dynamic field. You have to move with it, and you're constantly learning, and some of the therapies that worked before don't work quite so much now, and
we have
to develop new therapies, and the way that we integrate them together, we can get successes where ordinarily we wouldn't.
Sure, and I think that leads to the next question, and that is, people ask me about outcomes, and you know, utilizing things like, for me, biome therapy, or you know, different types of allergy testing that's not the mainstream. I've been using a lot of saliva antigen testing, and it seems to give me a really good idea on food sensitivities. Mm-hmm. There's a woman by the name of Dr. Jean Dodds who runs a company called NutriScan, and you know, it's really kind of shunned by a lot of the medical community in veterinary medicine, but it's amazing how spot on it's been.
Absolutely.
And you know, what I found, and I know that you all also see this, is that what we eat, the whole idea of nutrigenomics and its effect on the body really affects our genes and our body itself. And, you know, really has a direct feedback on wellness and longevity. So, I mean, for me, the outcomes were so much better just doing what you're talking about. The bottom line is giving the body a chance to heal.
Yeah, absolutely. And proper nutrition.
Because if you do that, it will.
There's no question. 70% of the immune system is within the digestive tract, the greater, you know, the greater lymphoid tract. And it's when the microbiome, which is like 10 pounds in a human of bacteria that have integrated itself into the body, when it's altered and you have the abnormal flora, it basically, it can be causative for many diseases as well as influencing the immune system.
Sure.
The individual microorganisms are, you know, they secrete a lot of chemicals that are neurotransmitters and peptides that influence every organ in the body. It's all integrated.
Right.
That's why when, you know, medicine has gone from being looking at the whole body and the whole person, the whole animal, to looking just at individual organ systems. And there's definitely an advantage to that because physicians can develop expertise in a relatively narrow area, and with the increase of technology, master that technology. Whereas, you know, doctors like ourselves have look at a much broader picture. We look at the influences of like the microbiome on the entire body. So we might treat depression, or we might treat conditions like chronic pain with working with the microbiome.
Sure.
Food allergies have become much more common.
Right.
When we started practice, basically there weren't a whole lot of food allergies.
Right. No, there were not.
The food sources were much cleaner, both in animals and in people.
Sure.
There have been more chemicals developed. You know, the premise, better living through chemistry.
Yes.
Developed more and more chemicals, and what they've enabled us to do is to have longer shelf life for, you know, for food products, and prevent putrefaction, but they also have a very adverse effect on the human body.
Sure.
And they're really not tested well enough. And most of us, you know, the patients we see are knowledgeable enough. They know that that has an adverse effect on them.
Yeah.
So we want to get cleaner food sources, and we don't want to do therapies that interfere with the microbiome.
Yeah.
And we want to promote the healthy microbiome.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I think I talked to Andy Weil about on the podcast with him, we were talking about, you know, many, many times in animals, if they break with an acute gastrointestinal problem, vomiting, diarrhea, bloody, maybe mucusy, whatever, the first thing that the ER docs do is put them on something like metronidazole, which is a very powerful antibiotic, which often will kill so much of the good bacteria with the bad. Now, it does seem to make them better for a day or two, but now the research is out there showing the long-term effects of what this has been doing. And I listened to a gentleman who came from Texas A&M. Texas A&M Animal GI Lab is probably the best in the world. And he's been doing just microbiome for 20 years.
Wow.
And he said, you know, there isn't a case in veterinary medicine that needs metronidazole unless they are septic. They, you know, they're running gigantic fevers. They're really, really bad off. But in general, changing the diet, increasing the fiber, looking at the biome, looking at, you know, food sensitivities or allergy if you can, all of that will heal that animal in lieu of, you know, throwing them on this metronidazole, or a lot of people also use Tylosin, or, you know, as another antibiotic. And so, you know, it's fascinating to see kind of how things are going, but the idea of the person and the animal as a whole is so amazing.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we can bring. And I think that I know our listeners, people are, I mean, I know you see this in your practice. I see this in my practice. People are clamoring for this information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the problem is that it's so all over the place that it's really tough. I mean, I get a question almost every day, like, what should I feed my dog? Right. And you know, there isn't one simple answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But it is whole foods, no GMO, staying away from antibiotics and hormones. I mean, one of the scariest pieces of information I saw recently was when dogs are looked at postmortem in the major universities in the United States, their liver contents of glyphosate or Roundup is 30 times what it should be.
Absolutely.
And that is really scary. And people say, well, how does that happen? Well, just think about it. People spray for weeds. You know, the county sprays, the golf courses spray. Dogs walk on there. They lick their feet. And boom, you got instant ingestion.
Absolutely.
So it's a very scary thing. So just to let everybody know, we're going to take a break and we'll come back for episode number two. I've been speaking to Dr. Brian Caban.
We get number one and number two?
We have number two, yes.
Wow,
we're going to talk about number two.
Great.
How do people, is there a contact for you? You know, do you like people to email you? Or, you know, I don't, you know, sometimes I don't think you want to be overwhelmed when your phone's at work. And is there a better way that people can contact you or learn about you?
Well, they both can, they can go to my website, which is drcaban.com.
That's C-A-B-I-N.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. We're difficult.
Yes.
My email address is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, C-A-B-I-N, M-D, at yahoo.com. The office phone number is 520-319-2810. You can drop by the office at 616 North Country Club, Suite 180. Meet my wonderful staff.
And that's here in Tucson, Arizona,
It's here in Tucson, Arizona.
The birthplace of integrative medicine.
Absolutely.
I think.
Yeah, it's the capital.
Do you, and a question around that contact information, do you do any telemedicine at all? Are you able to do?
Okay. I do lots.
So people can call the office and set something up, because that happens for me also here.
Absolutely.
Great. I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Paws Veterinary Center. I happen to know this place pretty well since I started it with my lovely wife now almost 15 years ago.
Wow.
Paws is for pet owners who are looking for something different, something more. Where service is kind of exceptional, and there's a much broader and deeper approach to the care of your pet. We kind of call it transformative medicine, but you can look at Paws at the website, which is www.pawstucson, and that's T-U-C-S-O-N. Most people don't spell that well. .com. Phone call is 520-888-7297. And then again, contacting me through drrandypetvet.com. Please email me. There's a phone number there that you can reach out to me. Especially if Brian and I are chumming at the moment, because we're looking to go out and do some speaking. If you have an organization that would love to have us come and talk, we'll do a great seminar for you. A lot of Q&A. We have spent a lot of time answering questions. So thanks for listening today to Paws, Reflect, and Heal with Dr. Randy. Thank you, Brian, for being here.
Oh, it's my
really
pleasure,
appreciate it.
Buddy.
And we'll be back on episode two in a moment. Thank you.